So just now we talked about what would define a successful maritime industry in 2050. Now we're talking about what would actually get us there. What do you think would be some of the key pilot projects or key initiatives, maybe some key new types of companies that are not present today, maybe some new ways of cooperating, some new alliances, maybe. What are some of these pathways that are not in place today that would have taken us to success in 2050?
Thank you.
Okay, Lenny, please.
So I think we talked a lot about knowing that loss of habitat or water quality or other measurements. It'd be great to have a game, but I would take a no net loss at this point, 2050. But maybe I could get a little more optimistic if we, commit to what some of the other folks have said about marketing, the fact that we do have an industry that's committed to being sustainable, not only economically, but environmentally. And I appreciate these comments there. And I think it would be great if we had some industry that was focused on achieving those goals. So why can't we invest in research and development on treating stormwater, on helping industry meet the regulations that we have put in for them, and have some of that technology be about treating the pollution and other negative impacts on our salish sea and our habitat for salmon and shellfish, and of course the greater fishing industry that we all rely on.
Thank you. And any comments on how to get there? Any thoughts?
Oh yeah, I thought it was your job. Well, it's obviously investment. Thank you, Frank. But I think that we have to think innovatively and out of the box. I think that everybody, like our friends down here, people have to own it. So I think that's what we've been asking about, is the side of the table seems to have been really pushing that and efforts from others. But we got to get our, educate people, for one, and I think that's important. And it's going to take money and resources. So we are a little bit into the politics at this point in time. But I think that we can, brand the products that we potentially produce, so that people can say, hey, you can go down to other states which don't care if you pollute as you build, but you can buy financial support, something that's meeting standards. And we can develop. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sheila,
Shani? Yes.
This is building comment, which is to say that I think it's one of the pathways to success here is, I think one of the reasons that I actually wanted to spend time on this work is, instead of thinking about this idea of a competitive workforce and a competitive economy, despite or somehow as a separate thing than the environmental component, I think we uniquely, what we can do here, the opportunity we have is that we are able to make this happen specifically by thinking of it as in a united way and an expansive way of thinking, how do we bring these two things together? And I think that's the pathway that will actually enable it. If we broaden the lens and think of all the different components, if we broaden the lens enough, take a long view, not that we don't look for short term, but we take a long view enough to think of the supply chain, of the logistics, of how do we get it from door to door in the last mile, and all those impacts, we are able to then find the value propositions and all of those things and add them up so that it does pencil out in the long term. And one of the examples of this is we were, through the governor's leadership right now, also are talking about efforts to save the southern resident killer whale, and it strikes me that a number of those conversations and solutions are ideas that are being discussed here today. And that, and they have to do with prey availability, they have to do with keeping toxins out of the water, and they have to do with noise. Well, guess what? A lot of the solutions that we talked about earlier today would serve all of those same ends. And so if we're able to take the pathway of thought that is a little bit different, which is to layer these solutions goals together, cut through them and say, what are those actions that actually hit the hot spots of all of these things? Then we're able to achieve all of those things that have a value proposition that is broader and actually pencils out as well. So I think it's just a pathway that is just thinking more broadly of competitiveness that is not despite, it's not economic despite environmental. It's the whole thing thought of as a larger human desire for the longer term.
Okay, thank you very much. Please.
Yeah, I wanted to take what you just said and also combine it with something Stephanie Moore Trident said earlier about there has to be market relevance to what we do. What about, and also this idea of 2050, that's a really long time. In the next decade, it feels like the nature of work is going to change due to automation, autonomy. But there's still going to be work, and we want every job here to be great. We want to have environmental integrity, and we want to have market relevance. Maybe another pathway for us is aquaculture. Aquaculture is not has some controversy to it, but our need for food is going to increase as our population increases, and the fishing industry is the food business. So, just another pathway.
And not to put you on the spot, Michael, but we'd like to hear a little bit more from industry and make sure we're hearing from everyone around the table. So from Tote's perspective and from an industry perspective, if you could talk a little about what you need in terms of support mechanisms for these pathways, either from the Tote or Salchak perspective, and what kind of support you would need specifically from your industry perspective in order to move along these pathways.
Well, I think Tote, we've taken some steps, and I think Frank talked about it earlier. The steps we've taken is reinvesting in our very long-term assets, right? These are 30 and 40-year assets. They're not short-term investments. So I would say from a business perspective, I grab onto a few things that people have said. You need to maintain competitiveness. And that can be from a cost perspective or from being an environmental leader. I think that has to be valued and have market relevance, or else you don't really have a business. And so I would say, taking all the thought and the commentary around the council, that all of that takes investment. And investment needs to be attracted to whatever ideas are put forward and are defined as the short list of the best. That if you can't attract investment, then you don't really have a good idea. And that would be, I would say, from a business perspective, critical in the 30-year, 35-year ambition.
Thank you very much. Bruce Anderson, you had your hand up there for a while.
Yeah, we have a, building on investment, we have an opportunity coming up with the VW settlement money. The ports are looking at that. I know others are looking at that. But maybe thinking in this context, maybe we should have other people in the room thinking a little bit further about the logistics chain and if there are things that we could do along the way, maybe with Amazon, with a small local company here. They ship stuff apparently, and they import things. So, we have VW money, which is funding coming. But to think maybe just beyond the yard, but to think longer into the logistics chain as a practical example.
Thank you. I was going to ask Ryan for some comments, but he may be getting some. Okay. Stephanie, you're ready, please.
I just would like to echo a few comments that have been made, that we have to continuously invest throughout the maritime industry. We're dealing with aging infrastructure, so there is a lot going on in terms of innovation and thinking about how best to make those investments on an ongoing basis. In the face of aging infrastructure, we have a lot of opportunity to integrate latest technologies in a really really press innovation. So throughout our industry, I know we're all facing that, thinking about those decisions, there's a lot going on. There's also new technologies already being brought in near Tacoma. We've partnered with Nucol to bring European innovation into cold storage for automated cold storage and retrieval system that requires extreme traceability and real efficiency throughout the distribution chain. So on land, there's a lot going on here in Washington that's pretty state of the art. So I hope to bring this group and to learn from others what already is happening right now that's kind of on the leading edge, similar to what Kenny presented on. And then would just add that those things are being done because we see it as an investment in our future and to learn lessons so that we make smart investments as we have to replace aging infrastructure. That's being done privately. It's being done within our company. There's a little bit of collaboration happening throughout the industry where it's advantageous to have those discussions on a pre-competitive basis. There's other things that are going to be driven through the regulatory environment. So as this group looks towards trying to secure commitments on each theme, I'd ask that we also consider what's appropriate in a competitive environment, what's appropriate pre-competitive, what's the appropriate rule for government, and at what level is that going to be necessary. We live in a very uncertain world. Our industry is very risky. So if we can figure out how to control risk where they're within our control, it would be helpful. I don't know.
Thank you very much. If you walk down the timeline to 2015, you turn around and you look back and you try to imagine which were the key milestones you actually went through. I mean, what are sort of the top three, four, five things, which is what we are discussing now, but are there any specifics you would imagine that actually took place or that made things really accelerate in the right direction? Any last comments or advice?
First of all, Josh reminded me that regarding the Volkswagen settlement dollars, Maritime is a qualified recipient according to the rules put forward by Ecology. So that's, I think that's spot on. I think to summarize several comments that folks made here, it seems to me that maybe branding needs to be high priority branding for the region. Because accomplishing an effective branding campaign should draw in the workforce. It should draw in companies that recognize us as a leader in clean ports and clean maritime in general. It should help sell products that we make here or fishing products that we harvest out of these waters by having that clear branding differentiation between us and the rest of the world. It seems to summarize what a number of folks have said.
Thank you very much. Roger, one final comment here, and then we'll move off to the final part. First. Okay. Please, thank you very much. Yes. Please. Sure. Let's take on this one, and then we move to the next one.
I think on milestones, I think Assistant Secretary Skarton gave you some milestones on electrification of ferries, so we've got that. Another thing I'm really interested in is if we're a global leader, could we create a consortium or a collaborative partnership with one or more other port communities? I mean, we're global leaders. What's our peer group? And establish those relationships. You know, I noticed when we were looking at what's happening in Singapore, Singapore's got a relationship with Rotterdam. You know, who are our peers? And formalize those relationships so that we become a player in that space.
Would you be looking at the West Coast then, or would you be looking at across the Pacific?
I'm thinking globally. We compete with some ports, but we also, who's on the other end of those ships that are coming in here? We should be talking to them. We should be establishing formal relationships with them in this issue of triple bottom line sustainability.
Thank you. Kurt, please.
Building on that point, I think as well as Stephanie mentioned this earlier, global standards are critical as well as the partnerships they're in, because innovations come from many places, and some are here, and most are connected in other ways. Increasingly, as the physical world and the digital world converge, and that's not new, but to the degree that it can be managed at scale in real time for the first time in history, it will continue to innovate in unprecedented ways is what we have to embed in all of this work. And in doing so, if we don't say the word cybersecurity early, often, and always, then none of this is going to matter, because it will just crater and we will not have the ability to recover. And so rather than just resiliency, recovery really is equally critical, I think, in all this work. There are legions, I think, of examples of pilots that we could work on. One that I would point to for, in this case, the ports, but it really is the logistics and supply chain, and that is the port community system. So a critical milestone is to get that established. We in the Seaport Alliance, along with other partners, LA Long Beach has an innovative project with General Electric. It is a challenge. It's not clear if GE is going to sustain their pilot down at LA Long Beach, given their new corporate strategy, which is kind of pulling back in some cases. So more to come in that regard, but I would reemphasize the port community system is one of those key pilots in a lot of sense.
Maybe one final comment then from John.
No, this will work fine. I just went on to tell the group before I came today, I went and printed out from Maritime Executive one of the things that John Venture sends on, and it's the new IMO strategic directions. And not all of them are of interest. We've heard a lot of talk about the regulatory environment. We've also heard about the international global application. I think we have to become, as we move through the process, continually aware of what's going on in other parts of the world, as Roger mentioned. And the strategic directions that came out from the IMO Assembly today talk about improving implementation of regulations, new and advancing technologies, responding to climate change, engaging in ocean governance, etc. I think those certainly bear scrutiny for us in terms of being an advisory group. Our role in the Coast Guard is to kind of tell you what is going to be in the art of the possible as far as regulations and national standards. But there's a lot of projects here that I think align with, international directions that are already underway that we can go and take advantage of.
Thank you. Elena, please.
One from my thought from before is one of the milestones we have to accomplish is to really map the pathways that touch the blue economy. But more broadly, if we're going to have full state support for the blue economy, we've got to find ways to bring the rest of the state into this. And one of the ways we can do this is through applied research and think about a hub and spoke kind of a system where we use our universities and our colleges and even our high schools across the state to figure out how to engage faculty at all levels, students at all levels, and the communities that surround them in applied research. And I'd like to see one of the milestones be a depiction of that hub and spoke kind of a system.
Great input. The final comment to these questions. We have a couple of more questions up here, and we hope to spend, let's say, 15, 20 minutes, depending on when Joshua will interrupt us, because we're running over 10 minutes. Okay, thank you. Here are some questions. What we were hoping for now is that this could maybe be some food for thought. We were hoping that you could ask each other some questions, maybe. If you feel that some key questions are not being addressed right now, and please bring them forward. We were hoping that this is a little bit more interactive and serves as a start of the process we will be moving into the next couple of months. So, critical success factors. What are the critical success factors for this project for the next 12 months? What needs to happen over the next 12 months for this to be a success? Success? I think we've touched on some of them already.
Relevant. We've heard many times, not just something that sits on the shelf, but how do we make sure that we have the right success factors, that this is going to move forward, and this isn't just going to stop at the end of the year, but results in projects that keep going. Okay. Some of the other things we're looking for more feedback on is if you haven't said it already, some of the other additional opportunities for quick wins, or the shorter term, low hanging fruit that we need to be going after for the short term strategy opportunities and demonstration projects. Along with the lines of what Brian was saying, what's the marketplace telling us about these opportunities? Where are the key market areas that we're hearing from the industry that we should be focusing on? And finally, what do you see your role to be to help us stimulate and incentivize the industry to innovate? What are some of the key support mechanisms, and how can you, as an advisory council, as part of this one-year process, but going forward also as ambassadors to the commitment that's been made, help support the industry overall to take this forward? So that's a lot of questions, but what we were trying to do is lay this out so that it can be more of a plenary session and have a little more discussion. And also, is there anything we missed that needs to be brought as well?
Yeah, you know, all of you have sat here and listened to and trying to change, and a kickoff meeting is inherently tougher to get a dialogue going because we're all just trying to figure out, all right, what do we do next? And I'm actually a big believer in the need to be able to celebrate wins along the way, along the lines of what Frank was saying, that we should not characterize this as a project that is going to think to what 2050 is going to look like. We know that we're going to get to 2050, and what we look like in 2050 will determine what we are doing today and next year and the next 5 years. And so I believe very strongly that the critical success factors have to be looked at, whatever we end up defining them as. And I personally think each pilot project will have success factors built into it. Industry participation, investors who choose to be part of it, whether they're public or private investors, will have established goals that they determine to say this is a successful pilot project. And so I want those projects to have the flexibility to define what success looks like. I would like those initiatives that are underway already, whether it's at the University of Washington and the Applied Physics Lab, or at the state agencies, or in the private sector, for all of you to view this as a forum where you can bring in your critical successes by 2020, and your critical successes by 2023. My role specifically, as long as I stay in the state legislature, is to stay attuned to what the initiatives are, where the research is taking us, where the gaps in the research are, where the gaps in the applications are, and very importantly, the connections in the education system. And I personally am very focused on connecting the middle schools, the high schools, the parents, the employers, and the higher education institutions, not just for 18 to 22-year-olds, but what is happening in the higher ed system from the standpoint of people pursuing opportunities that give them new skills in new careers, okay? And so I believe that we'll find what the success factors are as we implement them.
So what I heard is celebrate the success factors now and along the way. Tell those success stories, get the word out there. That will also help on raising awareness, drawing people into the workforce, and also finding those connection points for innovation. When you hear what others are doing, you find those spaces where you can work together to do more. Thank you. Dennis.
A couple of things in relevant to these questions. One is, I think we need to establish some metrics for what we think success is, and I think in the climate world we have some efforts like the Paris Accords and so on, but I think we need to think about what are some of the leadership. I think it's important that we also think a little bit about how we define leadership. What is it that we're trying to achieve as leaders, and what does that mean in the context of this effort? Also, I think there are some key collaborations that we ought to be identifying and building off a little bit of what Roger said and Kurt said.
over the last 10 or 15 years, there have been some key collaborations, environmental collaborations with the Asia Pacific ports, Shanghai and others, and sister ports, relationships that our ports already have. We also have had a strong collaboration up and down the West Coast of the United States. The West Coast ports are far and away the leaders in the country environmentally from a sustainability standpoint, well beyond what's happening in much of the rest of the country. And so how we build on those existing collaborations and partnerships, and particularly thinking about our trading partners, I think there's unprecedented change going on right now. When I started this, we were talking about triangle routes and those sort of things, and now with all of the change in the shipping industry around who they're partnering with and the bigger ships and all of those things, we really do need to think about how do we become adaptable, how do we adapt to the changes in the dynamics that are out there, and do that with partners, because we probably are not going to be successful alone on this.
Thank you. I'll go to Robert, Vince, and then Elaine.
So the thing that I've wrestled with is this question, less about the leadership and metrics on this stuff. The heart of a lot of this stuff is just a question of innovation. How do you generate that out-of-the-box thinking? And so, in the last one, what is our role? So from the University of Washington standpoint, I think what we're trying to do is really connect up the users, to the innovators and science and technology people, and create a forum, because if we can better understand what the problems are, we can create these out-of-box thinking. And from the university standpoint, not to worry so much about the IP, just, let's get some ideas on the table and then see where it goes. I think that's one of our main roles. And we're doing this, we have day jobs. The majority of funding for science and technology, maybe, so we're doing this. But so it would be nice to have a process, and a forum for where all these different ideas, these are the needs we have, and then have people come in and say, okay, well, I think I can solve it. Small businesses, especially, can come in and hear these problems, then we can get these ideas kind of going and just generate some real enthusiasm and momentum forward. If we do that, then I believe that success metrics will. Lots. I'm not worried about that. But how do we come up with those ideas? How do we generate that infrastructure in Silicon Valley to create this kind of stuff? That's what we've been trying to do. And it's not so easy when you have a day job and you're kind of doing this because you're trying to help the economy.
Very great comments. It made me think about, the maritime industry has a lot of challenges, amazing challenges and amazing opportunities. But there is a huge amount of talent not looking towards the maritime industry at all. So how would you, and there's a lot of talent here in Washington, right? That is not necessarily looking at the maritime industry at all. So to help potentially accelerate success in the maritime industry, maybe you need even more talent looking in that direction. So how would you do that if that was happening?
Well, there's another factor too, and at the risk of somewhat controversial, I do find some of the maritime industry is steeped in tradition. And as we move forward, it's been great because there's some really innovative thinking and innovative leaders. But I think there's a bulk of people who still, we're tied to tradition. We still do things with ropes and lines, and the way we've always done it, the way your grandfather did, things like that. So, I think, but there's a young generation coming up. We talked about that. You want those young people coming up. So it's an opportunity to change the ways you do business on this. I think at the core of all this stuff is generating that enthusiasm for the new technology and then putting it into the kids and getting them to the boats and changing the communities. I'm not sure I answered your question.
Yeah, thank you. Next was Mitzi. Yes, please.
One of the key issues that I'm not sure we've addressed here, I think Mr. Forsman actually mentioned it a bit in Net Gain, I believe, but is industrial property, the loss of industrial property. And that's, if we lose our industrial properties in and around the waterfront, then all of this is for naught. And we are on a steady decline in loss of industrial property. I see quick wins there. The Port of Seattle last week authorized the purchase of Salmon Bay Marina, and you know that's a giant win. But we have to be really that's probably the single most important issue is our loss of our maritime industrial properties.
Thank you very much, Lenny. We will get the honor of having, I think, the last comments. Craig as well. Okay, Lenny first, then Craig, and then Craig will have the last one.
In thinking about success factors, I need to be a bit of a pragmatist here and say this grant is for a year. Is that right? A year, 18 months, something like that?
Well, so this process is for 12 months to come up with a plan, or 6 months to evaluate our measurements. The grant supports continued work to help organize and coordinate this cluster and support the development of an innovation center. So we have a little bit of time, some of my time, to continue.
So if we want this to be more than something that sits on the shelf, then there has to be a network of identified leaders responsible for each of these things. And I'm old and I've done so many of these, and if we don't invest in the intermediaries that keep these partners coming together and collaborating, it falls away with all the best intentions. And so one of the success factors I'm going to be looking for is what if we put in place to make sure that the momentum continues beyond the life of the grant, however long that's
out. Thank you, Craig.
So I'm going to touch on the marketplace, what it's telling us, and something you asked about who's innovating or how do we do that. And I think the one certainty we have is that there's someone who wants to disrupt the marketplace that we have now. And Bruce mentioned a very small company in town named Amazon. So I think one of the things we have to look at is these maybe opportunities or challenges is that someone is going to want to disrupt all the parts of the system that they think are inefficient. So it's not that hard to imagine a world in which containers come into the port, they're opened up, and for the local goods that are being ordered, each of those boxes or containers is picked up by a little flying drone owned by Amazon and flown out to your house in Redmond, right? I mean, that's technologically possible in some respects today. So I think when we think about the marketplace, one of the questions is, are we engaging with those disruptors or trying to figure out how to bring those disruptors into the conversation because they're out there?
That's a great point. I think that might be a great point to land on. Or if we have any final thoughts, and Frank or Gail or Dennis, folks have been engaged and patient as we've been working through this. So I just want to, again, just reiterate my thanks for your willingness to bring your leadership to the table, to inspire further leadership. There is incredible leadership in this room. There's an incredible amount of leadership that I've been engaging within the maritime industry, within the environmental community, that are interested in solutions, right? That are interested in taking steps forward and interested in solutions. And this opportunity for us to identify them and make them happen. So I just, before we are gonna open up, we do have a networking kind of reception lunch, which we invite everybody to come and stay. We ordered just the right amount of food for those that did stay, so we nailed it. Feel free to eat. But I did want to take steps. So we are going to have these levels of input. I think a good discussion will be had to make sure that we do have the right representation on this level, the advisory board. That's a good conversation for us to have. We will be receiving further input. I'm hoping more will be inspired in your minds after this conversation. So we're going to provide the forum for you to give us continued input after today. We're going to start to convene, and this is a call to action for the folks that are here and the others that I've talked to, just to convene this task force. Now, I've identified a number of folks in the room have already said, yes, we're going to play a role. We're going to be the boots on the ground. We're going to provide some great input back to the advisory council for you all to chew on. There are others. And so we're going to convene that group coming up here in January, and that'll work our ways into those pathway work groups. So we'll have folks that are going to focus on, let's say, in sustainable fisheries, maybe it's the policy incentive side. shipping and logistics that we can really kind of work those solutions out and bring them on through to you. So that's what it looks like. I really want to thank you again. I don't have any scripted, it is inspiring to me when the group of people come together. I've done that on ships, on small tugboats, working through our safety mechanisms. I've done that very intentionally with, thousands of school groups on board ships. I've done that across the maritime industry here in Washington State. And I've had conversation with folks around the globe that are thinking about this, and we're thinking about it. We're going to come up with some solutions and some great pathways. So thank you. And enjoy some lunch. And I want to thank everybody else who's come spend their morning and some of their afternoon to come engage.